Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Casper's Black Friday sale just got dreamier. Limited time, 30% off. Go to casper.com/promo. Joel Klatt, the voice of college football. He and Gus provide all sorts of excitement. We'll get to the Michigan thrashing of Ohio State,
wow,
which was wow.
What a scene that was.
Woo! That was amazing. All right, let's start with this. Lincoln Riley to USC, and I heard some Sooner fans saying, hey, Lincoln Riley, his teams were a little soft. And I'm like, well, they always run the ball really well. They're not just a passing offense. It starts with the run game. So what do you make of him coming to SC? What will they look like and how long will it take?
I think he's going to make them in his image. It'll look a lot like what OU looked like. I think that his biggest challenge is going to be finding the right combination on the offensive line as far as the immediate challenge, because his system is run oriented and they're more successful and have been more successful when they can run it efficiently. And that was part of their downfall, if you want to call it that, this year at Oklahoma, is that they didn't run it as dominantly as they have in the past.
Was one of their weaker O-lines.
It was. They hadn't quite developed it. It just wasn't. It was one of those years that you caught it perfectly and they just weren't as dominant as what they have been over the last few. But that's what he's going to be trying to do at USC, and he'll be able to do that. This is so fascinating to me because it makes not just USC, but the West Coast relevant in college football.
Right.
It has been, and everyone, like the Pac-12 people, they are on eggshells all the time about just the overarching stature of their conference, you know, and they're just so anxiety-ridden about getting credit or being at the... Here's the bottom line. This conference has been somewhat irrelevant for the better part of a decade, outside of a couple of years where Marcus Mariota was great or Peterson made a run with Washington.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it has not been good. And this makes not only USC, but the entire footprint relevant. And I think that the dominoes that we see from this over the next couple of years are going to be substantial. If you look around college football right now, folks, you've got players and impactful ones all over the country that are from the Pac-12 footprint, not just Southern California, although a lot of them are from Southern California, but the footprint. Just think of just the top end. I mean, C.J. Stroud and Chris Olave at Ohio State. They also got the number one wide receiver in the country out of the Seattle area in Emeka Abuka last year. They got the number one defensive end out of the country out of the Seattle area in J.T. Tuimoloau. That's just Ohio State. You've got Bryce Young at Alabama. You've got, let's see, Spencer Rattler was an Arizona kid. He was at Oklahoma. You've got Bijan Robinson, one of the best running backs. He was an Arizona guy. You've got DJ Uiagalelei. They're littering college football. If you were to talk with top line coaches in 2007, 8, 9, you know what they would have said about, like, hey, are you going to go recruit that kid in LA? Why? It's not worth my time. There's a fence built around the LA area and the Southern California area because Pete's not letting that kid go.
That's right.
And you know, Urban Meyer said I wouldn't even attempt to come in Southern California.
Ed Orgeron told me once they used to laugh when they would go to high school games and see Ohio State and Michigan out here. They would laugh. They're
right, because
like,
they had no chance.
No shot to get any of the best players.
So if they can do that, and that's an if, right, because those programs are great programs certainly and have a lot of momentum going right now. But if they can do that, what they will quickly establish is a marquee top-end college football presence on the West Coast, which we haven't had for the better part of a decade. And I think that's important for the sport as a whole.
Yeah. All right, Brian Kelly to LSU. It's funny, I hear this. You know, it's a weird fit. And I'm like, win 11 games, it's not weird.
Well,
he's going to win games.
He is going to win games.
Listen. He's a really good coach.
He's a great coach. I'll go in the great category. I think Brian Kelly is a great coach. Culturally, it's a completely different environment. Yeah. Notre Dame and LSU.
So is Oklahoma and LA.
Oklahoma and LA. Folks, does it really matter when someone puts $100 million in front of you if it's the best fit? I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I think he was 100% honest with everybody in the room. a while back when he said, listen, unless there's a fairy godmother and my wife and I have a conversation about some blank check, yeah, I'm going to be at Notre Dame. That wasn't a lie. And the fairy godmother happened to be wearing purple and yellow.
Yeah.
And folks, every one of us is for sale. You might not want to hear that, but it's true. Every single one of us that are listening are for sale in our careers. Colin, you were for sale. Joy, yeah. I'm for sale. That's just the nature of it. And guess what happens? There's two reasons why that's not going to happen for you or won't happen for you. You're either not valuable enough to leverage that for sale, or two, you have some contractual obligation that prevents you from going in that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's it. Or else everybody is for sale. So if you get that contract, you're moving too. So cast the first stone if you're the one that's not going to move, okay?
Yeah, when I go to Twitter and people rip people for moving, I'm like, oh, so you're not talented enough to get offers. Because Chris Rock,
that's one of the reasons.
As loyal as his options.
You're that's as loyal
as your
options.
Great philosopher, Chris Rock. Now, man's as loyal as his options.
The other aspect of that, though, is the contractual piece. So let me just, for a moment, college football is broken. Lincoln Riley just admitted to me upstairs. I sat with him. You can check out the interview. I know he sat with you as well. And I asked him, I said, listen, is it discouraging that you have to make this decision which within this structure, which then makes you out to be the bad guy for doing exactly what everybody else would do?
Yeah.
And yes, that's the problem. The structure of the sport is totally broken because, as I've argued on this show several times, we don't have an overarching entity that's looking out for the whole. So everybody acts in their own best interest in college football, period.
By the way, that was boxing in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and why the UFC emerged is that boxers were just about Don King cared about Don, Bob Arum cared about Bob, and that was the... But this is a day to celebrate college football.
No, I am. I'm telling you that if this is not how you want it to happen, and I don't think even Brian Kelly doesn't want to do it this way. Lincoln Riley doesn't want to do it this way.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is create more of an NFL model where you have tampering periods and you have structure to the sport. Put guardrails on the schedule of the sport. There should be no early recruiting period where you're signing guys in the early December, because this is the product of that.
Yeah.
You fire guys in September and you've got to hire them before December.
Yeah.
That's why this went down the way it did. It's not Lincoln Riley's fault.
No.
And it's not Brian Kelly's
fault.
That's
right. The early signing period, USC had to get a coach in 48 hours. I mean, that's the way it is. Oh, okay. So it's a really good year for candidates. By the way, Urban Meyer said today, and I know Urban well enough, I've been saying this for months. He's like, I'm not going back to college football. It ain't happening.
No.
I've done it twice. I'm out. I got my money. So Urban's not going back. Matt Rhule, Kingsbury, we'll see. But let's talk Oklahoma and let's talk Notre Dame. I think Luke Fickell is an unbelievable candidate.
Yes.
I think Matt Campbell's an unbelievable candidate. I do worry that Marcus Freeman, your first job being Notre Dame.
That would be tough.
It's a hard, most first-time Notre Dame coaches have not worked. It's too much. It's a labyrinth of hurdles to jump over.
I could see Marcus Freeman being the interim coach for Notre Dame, and I could see he and Fickell switching in the offseason. And Marcus Freeman gets his first opportunity with Cincinnati because that job opened because Luke Fickell took the Notre Dame job.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I also think that for Oklahoma, I think that Matt Campbell fits well there, folks. I mean, he understands the Big 12, knows how to win in the Big 12. He knows how to develop.
That's what I
like Matt Campbell there a lot. Brent Venables is a guy that I think would be wildly popular, in particular with the former players at Oklahoma, having been the defensive coordinator there a while back. So I think Brent Venables is a great candidate for Oklahoma or Matt Campbell. I think those are home runs, by the way. And I think that they can continue to move forward and be quality programs.
Okay. So, you know, you never want to be recency bias, and you don't want to overreact. But when I watch Michigan just 1988 roll over Ohio State, I said to myself, it doesn't mean they're going to win every year, but what they've established is, for the first time in Harbaugh's reign, is an identity. They've always had great O-linemen. They've always had good backs. And I watched that game and I'm like, I'm not saying you're going to duplicate that in Columbus, but that looked like Michigan football. Like, we're going to have four NFL first-round O-linemen. We can get that now. We're going to have an NFL tight end, an NFL back. We may not have the corners that Alabama does, But can you stop our run?
Can you deal with us at the line of scrimmage?
In cold weather.
Oh, I mean, first of all, the scene was incredible. That was the best environment I've ever been at in any sport, any level. It was absolutely phenomenal. I thought that the crowd was great. The snow added to it, obviously, and they did exactly what they needed to do. Ohio State came into this game with a lot of confidence. There's no doubt about
that.
But they were banged up on defense, in particular at linebacker. And they had to play in the last quarter with basically a nickel defense on the field at all times. And guess what Josh Gattis did for Michigan? He said, I see your structural deficiency. Nickel defense meaning you only have two linebackers and five DBs. And he said, I see your structural deficiencies. And on the last drive, they didn't throw a pass.
Nope.
This is a huge credit to Josh Gattis, the offense coordinator, who is a Broyles Award finalist for the top assistant in college football, because he understood what was on the field and what was happening. And he said to himself, I don't even need to put the ball in harm's way. I can just go out there and run the football right down the field, and they were able to do that. That was a great identity, like you said. And what's so fascinating for me is that Jim Harbaugh, who had to chase a few things during this tenure at Michigan, he kind of chased defense. Okay, I got to get Don Brown to stop Ohio State, and then that didn't work. So he gets Mike McDonald. And then he chased Josh Gattis to go to the spread offense, and then he had to marry it back to, you know what that was? Stanford beating USC in the college game. That's what he went back to, like what made him great
that was
to begin with.
That's exactly what it was.
It was incredible. The physical domination at the line of scrimmage.
By the way, all these, you know, it's funny about all this stuff. So y'all wanted Harbaugh gone. Y'all wanted Brian Kelly gone. Our phones have made us so impatient. I won't read the article. I just want the headline.
That's
and
right.
You've got to win today.
Today.
All you Brian Kelly critics and Harbaugh critics, you must have a power outage in your hometown because I didn't see a tweet this weekend. Can we give these coaches? Dabo Swinney took 4 years at Clemson. What do you? Chip Kelly won 8 games. Their football stadium's 45 minutes up the road. These fans are nuts.
Nuts. And I think that's one of the benefits. I know this is crazy saying this. This is one of the benefits in these ADs doing such horribly one-sided contracts with their coaches. Because these contracts are so one-sided, folks. When you actually see the language
and the fine print,
they can leave anytime they want, speaking of the coaches. And the schools would have to buy out for $50, $60, $70 million, right? I mean, it's a wild one-sided. But what we're going to start getting is less of that, less of like, well, we're just going to make a move. Because no one's going to be like, let's write a $75 million check or an $80 million check. That's not going to happen. So at least with some of these 10-year contracts, like Mel Tucker got at Michigan State, or now as reported with LSU and potentially USC, at least you're going to have this thing where it's like, he's going to be here for 5 years. He's going to be here for 6 years. Because guess what? Even after year six, Mel Tucker and James Franklin got a 10-year deal. You know, James Franklin, if they try to fire him after year six in this contract, they have to pay him $32 million after 6 years. That's how one-sided these contracts are. But at least you'll get some patience now because it's like you can't do anything.
Hey, if Fox fires me tomorrow, I got a can of salted peanuts and a bus past El Paso. My contract is ironclad. Okay, Clat, let me look at your top 10. Aren't they unveiling the playoff thing tonight?
Tonight, yes. Normally I'm in on Wednesday, but we had Lincoln in town in the building, so I had to come in on a Tuesday.
Let's see Clat's top. Let me judge.
There's
this.
My top 10. Please do. Live. Judge. Judge away. You're going to like it.
I would have Oklahoma State above Notre Dame. Otherwise, I love it.
Okay. I could argue me into that position.
No, Joy was my witness. I said 3 weeks ago, Oklahoma State's the most underrated team in the country. I would have Oklahoma State 6, Oklahoma State 5, Notre Dame 6. And I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, people were after me about Utah, and oh, they've lost so many. But if you've watched Utah over the last few weeks, they're absolutely a top 10 team, or at least playing that way.
Listen, Cincinnati beat Notre Dame. I've said this before. I think Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, I don't have any argument. Cincinnati, listen, they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. I got no argument.
Yeah, you can't say much about it. So here is what's going to happen, though. If you don't have any argument, then let's lay out what the path forward is. Georgia's win or lose, and you're probably in this week. Michigan, you're winning in. Alabama, winning in.
Michigan will beat Iowa. I was a little worried.
Oh, of course you're going to say that. You hate Iowa.
No, I don't hate Iowa.
Yes.
No.
Iowans, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I was there one time and had...
One time.
Well, listen, I'm a very busy man with a lot of options.
I flew over it one time, and I looked down, and it was gorgeous.
I am not anti Iowa.
Iowa, there it is.
But as America's honesty broker, you can't throw out that fake ID. I'm a bouncer.
Ten wins.
I'm sorry. That's not a driver's license. Get out of here.
We have established that they are past the fake ID stage.
Well, they still carry it with them, though. Occasionally, about twice a year, they got to pull it out and get whacked.
Anyone worth their salt knows that once you had a fake ID and once you graduated out of that, you got rid of it quickly.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Now, I don't think Iowa matches up with Michigan. I thought Wisconsin matched up better, but
yeah,
Iowa beat
them. I agree with that. Iowa just, I don't know what they can bring to the table offensively, but that defense is sound and they can turn the ball over.
Okay.
Michigan's playing for a playoff spot. Cincinnati's playing for a playoff spot. Okay. I think if Oklahoma State wins, I think Oklahoma State goes.
Now, I love recruiting.
I know you do.
Love it. And I almost jumped in the car with Lincoln Riley today. Do you think, I swear to God, I would have if Joy wasn't here.
He did ask him if he could go.
I asked him if I could go. I heard.
I love it.
I know.
But let's just be a little bit of a homer, because I only have one team left in America I care about emotionally, USC. Let me ask you this. How do you go to a kid? Let's say I'm a big left tackle.
Okay.
Boy, USC could use one of those. And I'm a big left tackle, and I committed to Oklahoma, and you're the coach, and then you got to call me because USC – you're now a Sooner, but yeah, how do you wiggle that phone call and I go to USC?
It's very easy. I'm Lincoln, I say, yo, you committed to me. You committed to me because of two reasons. I am going to help you win championships and go to the NFL. That's why you committed to me.
Well, that sounds a little much.
I don't think it
is. I'm more humble than that.
No, actually, you're not. I'm America's honesty broker. You're welcome, America.
I don't know if I could say that.
What?
I don't think Colin could say that, actually.
You're committed to me.
What do you mean? That's what college football is.
I couldn't say that to a kid.
You don't commit to the logo. You don't commit to the facility. That's a big fallacy, folks. You commit to the coaching staff.
All right.
You might not say it that way. Maybe that's why I'm not a coach.
I couldn't, you know what, because...
You could say that.
I couldn't say it to a kid. You committed to me.
Let's follow me and let's do something great.
It sounds better out of your mouth. It just wouldn't sound good to me. I sound like a used car salesman. You want some brakes for that Chrysler?
During commercial breaks, that's what I tell Gus. Gus, you committed to me. No, he would slap me.
All right, buddy, great seeing you.
You as well. Joy, great to see you. Hope you
too,
guys
Joel.
Had a great holiday. What a great weekend. That scene, by the way.
Oh, the best.
It was unbelievable.
I didn't even go to Michigan. My wife's from there. It was good. If you love the sport, not just your favorite team, it was good for the sport.
It was great. Did you see the Time cover?
No.
Google it right now, everybody. The Time Magazine cover.
It's
a shot of Michigan Stadium with 100,000 people on the field. It's incredible. I saw it on some social media.
By the way, did all the wokey people say it's a super spreader or something, or is it a nice thing to say?
Didn't hear the wokey people.
Well, you know,
Fauci was in the back having convulsions.
If you go watch a sporting event, you're gonna the whole world's ending.
So My goodness!
I hope they were nice to Michigan fans. Great American sports
fans.
It
was just
classy.
Everything about Saturday was true Americana. Whether it was the game that I was at, Bedlam later that night, Iron Bowl, all of it.
Those are classy fans at Michigan. They're classy.
Okay.
I like Michigan fans.
I had a guy come up to me. He had a sweet mustache after the game.
Really?
Just thought, you know what? That's a sweet mustache.
Good
for you.
Him?
I did.
And did you say you were committed to me? Did you say that to him? Because that makes me uncomfortable.
I didn't. He said something about like, hey, make sure to, you know, keep your son in line on Wednesdays. And I was like, no problem. I'll tell Colin.
Good seeing you, buddy.
You too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This Cyber Monday, celebrate softness season. Tommy John's best deal of the year yet, right? right now, 20% off site-wide plus free shipping. Go to TommyJohn.com/herd. I'm wearing their stuff today, T-shirt. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, LeBron James might be the owner of an NBA team soon. There's a way how. So Fenway Sports Group, an LLC in which LeBron is a partner, reached an agreement to acquire controlling interest of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So Axios reported that the group would also like to buy an NBA team once it finishes up its sale of acquiring the Penguins. And they expect to target a franchise in 2022. This is from Dan Primack of Axios. So the group already owns Red Sox and Liverpool FC of the English Premier League. Now, the NBA's CBA agreement does generally prevent current players from owning an NBA team.
Yeah, I thought that.
From owning portions of the NBA or WNBA. But Article 29, Section 11 of the agreement says that players can hold an ownership of publicly traded securities constituting less than 5% of the ownership interest in a company or entity that directly or indirectly owns an NBA team. So there is a tiny loophole.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, by the way, business,
he said his goal is to own an NBA franchise, and it will be sooner than later.
Yeah, owners use loopholes all the time in their taxes and business. So can a player. You think the billionaire owners have loopholes all over their businesses?
Well, he'll be 37 on December 30th. He's in his 19th NBA season.
He's been
a part of this group for a while, and you know it's not done yet, but they have made it clear that that's their next goal and what they're going to acquire for next year.
This is happening. You know, as you get this, sports right now is the only on TV that
only
really gets
thing.
I mean, literally, a live.
It's sports and politics. That's it.
That's it. And maybe a live news event. All right. Like, you know,
like sports,
an election
politics,
or something.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, because of that, all advertisers want to be on sports. And because of that, there's more money for leagues and players get a share of the leagues. And this is what's going to happen, folks. We're going to have more. When Michael Jordan bought a team, he had to go through a tunnel of nonsense to get there. You can now play, and if you're great for 15 years, you can join a group, maybe own a team. This is the way it should work for the greatest of the great,
yes.
Derek Jeter. You should be able to be part of an ownership
group. Yeah, there's always like this hyperbolic reaction to these things. Like now LeBron's going to have interest. Like LeBron has, I'm sure, ownership in lots of companies that you don't know about. Like he's a pretty wealthy guy. And he has an interest in being an owner at some point, and he's been a part of this group for a while.
I tried to buy an MLS team, a small share, 8 years ago. I couldn't afford it. I can't shoot a basketball. Maybe I could own an MLS team. But I try. I mean, by the way, could I not and talk about it on the air? Like, it's just the reality of sports now. There's all these opportunities. Why do business people get all the breaks and athletes can't get any of them? Give me a break.
No, and athletes of the LeBron, Brady level that are bringing in that kind of money want to invest in something that they know a thing or two about.
By the way, do you know what Kevin Durant going to the Brooklyn Nets raised the net worth of that franchise by $150 million? Just him going. So the owner gets it. Well, you pay Kevin. No, he's just an employee. So, I mean, to me, I think down the line, you should be allowed to give like 1% of your team to a star player.
Yeah, I don't think I disagree with that. Like LeBron, the amount of money that LeBron brought in, not just to the organization in Cleveland, but the city of Cleveland, that area downtown, like the businesses.
Listen, I don't.
I think I don't know how you would, you know, arbitrarily come up with this number, but if you are someone that powerful, if you are Tom Brady going to Tampa, if you're LeBron going back to Cleveland, if you're KD going to Brooklyn, and there's a quantifiable, measurable jump in the value of that organization upon your arrival, maybe some like dividends or something is appropriate.
Steph Curry owns a little bit of the Warriors. That seems fitting to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, or you just, you know, you get some sort of bonus or something. But that, like, people are going to freak out that we're saying this. But if you are that powerful of a star, if you're that big of a face of
and
an
you're
organization
driving that
and
much,
you're driving that much revenue, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's not really like an employee situation. He's not like really like punching a clock. So Aaron Rodgers told reporters after Sunday's win over the Rams that he was deciding whether or not to have surgery on his injured toe, which, by the way, we've really had a lot of Aaron Rodgers foot talk going back to that random guy that got pegged as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
This is like
Yeah, no kidding.
Size,
I'm done talking about
his feet. And then I
got to
see Aaron Rodgers' toes, and is it COVID toe? I mean, enough with Aaron Rodgers' foot. But NFL Network reported yesterday that he has decided against having surgery at this time. So he has the bye week now, which is great for him because now he can rest the toe and hopefully it'll heal and improve. Matt LaFleur said he didn't know if Rodgers is holding off on having surgery as reported and that he was still gathering information on what he was going to do. And he's also unsure of the time frame for this particular injury to heal. So there's a lot going on with this particular injury, but he's clearly playing through it and doing an amazing job.
You know, it's amazing when you watch Aaron. He's got this incredible arm. He's 6'1" and a half, 220. Like Josh Allen's arm, you're like, yeah, I get it. Or Big Ben's arm. The ability to derive such power and whip and torque. Like, Brady's almost 6'5 and 235. When you watch Aaron throw, like, without pads.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 6'2, 196 today, if I have a brownie. He's 15 pounds heavier than me. I couldn't throw a just the ability to, his torque and his power, it's fast.
I'm going to say something that's very obvious. Yeah. Professional athletes are built different.
All right, whatever.
Their DNA is different from ours.
Yeah.
It's just... they just are.
Here's a story that's never been done. So Fox executives do this story. I want a story on Aaron Rodgers and where his power comes from to throw the football. He throws it backpedaling. He throws everything off his back foot. Now, if you're Cam Newton, I get it. You're 6'6", 250. The ability, the physiology of Aaron being able to throw the ball that accurately, that fast...
yeah.
That frame is crazy.
I'm going to tell you, he would disagree. It's God or like the universe, cloud person, whatever, you know, the energies, crystals, whatever it is that you're into. That's where it comes from. Like if you are around a professional athlete, you can be the exact same size, but like they're just different. Like he's getting hit by 300-pound men who are running full speed at his head and he can then... lift himself off the ground and then continue to perform with the same physical capacity he did before he was hit.
I am not comparing him to me. No.
I know you're not, but I'm saying like this is why they're capable of doing that. Like it's just different. That's why they're 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
It's crazy.
It is.
He's got the crazy. Like Dan Marino had a great. The only arm I've seen like Aaron that, and it may not be able to throw the ball the furthest, just the whip of it, is Marino. But Marino was a huge man. I mean, think about this. 30 years ago, Dan was 6'5", 235.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by today's standards, he'd be like 6'7", 245. We're just bigger people. Aaron's crazy. It's just a crazy ability.
Yeah. For the last three games while he's been injured, he has a 64.3 completion percentage, 984 yards, 6 passing touchdown, and 1 interception. He's also rushed for... a touchdown as well. Really incredible. So they have a bye, which is really good for them. And then they face the Bears in week 14. So finally, plenty of teams are in the playoff hunt, not the Lions. And head coach Dan Campbell says he would like to make some other teams feel some pain.
All right.
We got 6 to go and we're playing spoiler now. I mean, we're trying to run people's day is what we're trying to do. And so, you know, how do we improve on the things that we've done a good job of and make it a little bit better? And then certainly the things that continue to show up, how do we help? But I think now it's all about, you know, how do we make these last 6 opponents kind of have to deal with what we've dealt with for the season? That's the message.
That's all you got to do at this point.
He does seem like a nice guy.
They play hard. They've got 6 games left: Vikings, Broncos, Cardinals, Falcons, Seahawks, Packers.
Oh, they're going to win a game in there.
Got to sneak.
Packers may rest all their starters.
Yes, week 18.
If I'm a 1 or a 2 seed and I'm Green Bay, which has dealt with injuries all year, I am resting everybody. And by the way, the Seahawks stink. So I mean, they may have shut Russell Wilson down at this point. Falcons, you know what? I'm going to give them 3 wins. What? What's so funny?
I mean, look, they play hard. They've been close.
All right. Joy with the news. We are done today. I want to thank Lincoln Riley, Joel Klatt, Peter Schrager for stopping by. We'll see you tomorrow. Speak for Yourself is coming up next.